Another famous name and face gracing our BBC studios this morning, Evan Davison, economist, journalist, BBC radio presenter, the host of Dragon's Den, of course, Newsnight, the bottom line, busiest man in broadcasting. Evan Davis is with us. Good morning.
Very good morning to you, Mike.
Delightful.
Nice to be
here. Delightful.
And nice to have you in our country as well.
It is, well, we are having the best time.
The weather's
fantastic and Windsor's amazing and I'm excited.
I haven't even been down there.
Have you? Don't tell me you've never been to Windsor.
No, I've been to Windsor, but I haven't been this week since.
It's absolutely spectacular. Yeah. And we are having the best time. So that's the nice thing about it. Now listen, Dragon's Den, of course, famous in New Zealand apart from anything else. And going into it, so we were discussing. We don't know. 16, we've lost count,
and there are some double seasons and things. But it's been going since 2004. We filmed the pilot in 2004. And I remember at the time saying, I wonder if this will ever get kind of, you know, made. I wonder if it'll ever get a second series. And we've lost count now.
And the rest, and there are entrepreneurs with brilliant ideas still looking to find
them. Yeah, in fact, I would say a goodly proportion of entrepreneurs looking for that kind of, that relatively an early stage investment, a goodly proportion of them consider or do try and get on Dragon's Den. I mean, it is... I wouldn't say it's like a major funding route for British investment, but it's definitely thought about. And the thing I love most is the way the name Dragon's Den, here at least, has sort of entered the vocabulary. I get emails saying we're having a Dragon's Den type event.
That's fantastic.
Businesses say, well, we've decided to do this as a Dragon's Den. You know, it's just basically anything with five people.
Part of the vernacular.
And someone pitching.
Is Britain an entrepreneurial country?
Probably not enough. We've been very good, I think, at the sort of plucky inventors who invent stuff and it's great and very clever. And a lot of them will create businesses. And our issue, so that's entrepreneurialism. So yes, is the answer to your question. Where we don't seem to do so well is we don't seem to build those businesses up to the billion, $10 billion, $100 billion values. We don't create the Googles. We created some great businesses, and then they get snapped up and sold off. Arm Holdings was a chip design company. Yep. It's based here. You know, basically, virtually all the mobile phones in the world have their chips, their design chips, and they don't make anything, but it's a very valuable company. It was one of our big technology stars. You know, and that's sold to the Japanese as it gets big. So if there's something. There does seem to be some gap here where we struggle to build up the giants. I mean, maybe essentially a lot of people prefer to sort of do that in Silicon Valley because you've got everybody there and everything here. But I will say this, London now is seen as a hub of a lot of entrepreneurial activity around, particularly around fintech, financial technology, because we've got the finance, we have got a fair bit of entrepreneurialism, it's a great place to do business, we've got the infrastructure, the commercial infrastructure, the lawyers, the accountants, we've even got some venture capitalists, so yeah, it's not, we've got some sectors.
And then having said that, why would it change then with Brexit? If it's all here, why would it suddenly, and this is the reason I asked this question, we were here a year and a half ago for Brexit. And I thought to myself, why would it all change? I mean, you know, they were saying the end of the world was coming. Oh, my God, what have we done? But why would it all change? It appears to me it hasn't changed that much at all.
Well, it hasn't changed much in the last 2 years. Right. And obviously nobody knows how far, whether, and in what direction it will change. So, look, the good news about Brexit for entrepreneurs would be Britain can become a bit more nimble. We can change our rules on driverless car testing or all sorts of things a bit more easily. So, hey, this might be a great place to come and do business. The bad news would be, I suppose, to some extent on migration, the degree to which Brexit represented a vote against, easy come and go policies. A lot of these businesses are essentially very international. A lot of them, they can be here, they can be in Madrid, they can be in Berlin. And if they're trying to get together a group of international staff, that might be a bit of a problem because at the moment you can come here from anywhere in Europe. And after Brexit, that is not so clear. So I think that will certainly be one of the complaints. And then, of course, Mike, we all know that in business, psychology is incredibly important. And there's just a feeling among some Europeans here, we're not welcome, we don't like it. There's a sort of visceral thing rather than a rational thing. But we're all basically, we're all agog to see what Brexit is going to mean. We've heard Brexit means Brexit, our Prime Minister said a number of times. But what is it going to mean? We don't know what the practicalities
are. This is the fascinating thing for a person like me, who was here, as I say, a year and a half ago, and you've had it, and we have it in our news every day as well, but you live with it literally every day, and I'm back here a year and a half later, and as far as I can work out, broadly speaking, nothing's happened.
Well, what has happened is we've encountered quite a lot of difficult problems. I don't know whether you've been covering the Irish border problem.
Yes, exactly.
And what exactly you do. Because, to be blunt, Britain voted to be more of a nation and to have more rights to set its own product regulations and its own tariffs and taxes, for which you need a border. And at the same time, we have absolutely deemed we don't want a border, or at least we don't want a border between here and Ireland or between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And we are not really much closer to solving the conundrum of what exactly was we wanted.
Well, I tell you what we do in New Zealand, even, is we're free traders. And we've said to you guys, the moment you want to do some business, no problems at all. We've got the lamb and the pinot, and we're all set to go. and we'll break some bread and we'll do some business.
Well, and the British, the British government view and the Brexiteer argument was, let's do it. We can go out. Now, here's the question, you know, for business groups, the CBI and others, is when we add up all the New Zealands who we're going to do these deals with,
does it equal the Europe?
Extra trade we're going to do with them in any way offset the potential diminution of trade with our biggest neighbours? This is, do you know about this gravity? It's all about gravity models.
Yes.
The model of trade is, the traditional economic models are gravity weighted, that you, for some reason, you seem to do more trade with the people very close to you than you do with the ones a long way away.
Fantastic. Listen, I appreciate you coming in very much. Lovely to meet you. Good luck with Dragon's Den and all you do. Yeah. Good
Great
to see
pleasure,
you.
Mike.
Evan Davis.
Enjoy the rest of your trip. Enjoy the wedding.
Well, okay, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? we'll come back.
Party.